The text that we read from Matthew, or rather from Luke 18, is about faithfulness in prayer. Let's be honest with ourselves. Have you ever felt disappointed that God didn't answer your prayer? Do you ever feel that prayer really isn't helping? Have you ever prayed and for the time at least felt like maybe nobody was listening? We're not talking about trivial things. We're talking about things that are urgent. When we really had tried to put things in the hands of God and we pleaded for His help, but things didn't turn out the way that we had hoped. And while our spiritual training has assured us that God does hear and answer prayer, still, have there been times when we didn't want to admit it to anybody else but in our own hearts? We felt like it really hadn't accomplished much that we prayed. Job felt that way one time. You know, Job was a person who often expressed what his real feelings were in the disappointments that he had. And he put it like this in Job 21, verse 15. What profit should we have if we pray unto Him? As if to say, I've prayed and I don't know that it does any good that I pray. Well, Jesus knew that sometimes there would be those feelings, and He knew that sometimes even God-fearing people would be tempted to give up on prayer. And He gave this parable, a very simple little story, to teach us that no matter what, we should never give up on prayer. Some of the parables of Jesus are difficult for us to interpret, but this one is very easy to understand because, as somebody said, the key is in the door. It says that Jesus spake this parable for the purpose of showing us that we should not give up on prayer, that we should not faint or surrender to the doubts that we might have in regard to the value of our prayer life. Jesus knew that it is easier for a Christian to begin a life of prayer than it is to continue one. You see, one becomes a Christian, and in the spiritual excitement of that new life in Christ, there is determination to be faithful in prayer. It is a very special privilege that the new Christian recognizes now belongs to him. And so he determines that he's going to be a praying person, to be faithful in prayer. And for a time, he continues. But then there are various things that may interfere. One may cut back on his praying because of lack of time. Or it may seem that there is a lack of opportunity, that one gets too busy to have a regular practice of prayer. Or one perhaps even feels too tired, or maybe begins to feel that he can do just as well without praying. And that means that sometimes one may think, well, I'm living right and I'm doing what is right, and it doesn't seem to make much difference whether I pray about it or not. Or then maybe an even greater temptation that we are doing so well materially and physically. Life is moving along in such a very good way, and we don't have any serious bumps in the road, and it seems we're doing okay whether we pray or not. And these thoughts can cause one to become slack in regard to prayer. Or it may be, as I feel like so many of us may have felt, that we just don't have confidence in ourselves in regard to prayer, that we feel that we're unskilled, and maybe we feel that, well, we're really not worthy, or maybe we're thinking that prayers have got to be worded in some special way if they're going to really be answered by God. And especially if we have a situation where we have prayed the best that we know how, and in spite of the fervency and the sincerity of our prayer, and in spite of the fact that we wanted to pray in genuine faith, that still we felt that we were disappointed. We didn't mean to be skeptical. We made sincere appeal to the Father. We begged for God to answer our prayer the way that we wanted it answered. But then we felt disappointed. Oh, I'm not saying that we turn against God or that we say that God didn't do right, but still there is the disappointment that things aren't the way that we had hoped that they be. And it's when we have those feelings that we have to come back to the teaching of Jesus and see that the challenge of faith is that we keep on praying, no matter what. In the parable, this widow, we don't know what her legal case was, but for some reason she had filed some kind of lawsuit. It was something that was within her rights to do. She should have been avenged or compensated, whatever the particular need was, whatever loss she had suffered. And she had come to this judge, and he wasn't a man of justice. He didn't fear man or God. And now this is just the parable that Jesus is giving about the possibility of such a person. And she is turned away. He has no interest in hearing her plea, but she comes back, and he still has no interest in hearing what she has to say. He doesn't care about her or care about what is right. And yet she comes back. And finally, this judge, who does not fear man or God, says, I'm going to grant her petition because she won't give up. She just keeps coming back. And the judge says, I don't want to be bothered anymore about that. And so he grants the petition that she has. She was disappointed for so long, but she kept on coming. And this shows there's several words that relate to faithfulness in prayer that are illustrated by the story of this widow. There is importunity, a word that simply means one that just continues and continues and does not give up. There is a word synonymous with it, persistence. And there is the idea of patience in prayer, or perseverance in prayer, not giving up. And Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. To faint means simply to give up. And she did not faint. She did not give up. And so her petition was granted. In regard to our living the Christian life in general, in Galatians 6 and verse 9, we're told that in due season we'll reap if we faint not. That is, if we don't give up. And so Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. There are other passages that give the very same point. I want to mention several of them, not because each one gives us something new that was not in the previous one, but I just want us to see how frequently the Scriptures tell us to be persistent in our praying. Romans 12, verse 12 instructs continuing instant in prayer. That is, continue to be ready to pray. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so a powerful statement there that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A similar statement is found in Colossians 4 and verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Then a very familiar passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says to pray without ceasing. I remember discussions of that verse when I was a child and would overhear adults talking about what does it mean to pray without ceasing. And somebody wondered if maybe that meant you just prayed all the time. You didn't do anything but pray. And somebody else said, no, that couldn't be possible. That's not the meaning of it. Instead, pray without ceasing means to be always in a prayerful attitude. And I thought for a long time that that might be a pretty good explanation. But that really isn't what he's saying. He's saying you don't give up on prayer. Don't ever come to a place in your life where prayer is not a part of it. Let prayer be a regular, faithful practice. And so that's the idea of pray without ceasing. But notice in the parable that the message is not that God is like the unjust judge. Let's be careful that we don't read the parable and come across with the idea that God really doesn't want to do anything for us, but if we bother him enough about it, that eventually he will answer our prayers. That is not what the parable is teaching. Instead, the parable is teaching that God is so much better, not only of that judge, so much better of any man, that when we pray to him, we know that our prayers are going to be heard. You see, the point is not that God is like the unjust judge, rather that if a judge like that man cared neither for the widow nor justice, but would eventually respond to her request, then surely a loving God, a benevolent God, a God who is concerned with our well-being, a God who has given us promises of his concern, that surely God will hear the prayers that we make. Or you could make a comparison not to the unjust judge, but even a comparison to a really good man, a really good person. In fact, Jesus made that very point over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, as he's talking about prayer. In Matthew 7, verse 9, he puts it in the form of these questions. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so the comparison might be made to say that his response to our prayers are always going to be better than the response that any man could ever give. Now, friends, it takes strong faith to pray, but it also takes prayer to have strong faith. Now, there's a double point in that statement. I want to repeat it because I think it is profitable for us to remember it. It takes strong faith to pray, but it also takes prayer to have strong faith. The two things have to go together. Prayer is, of course, meaningless without faith. Without faith, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so faith is essential when we pray. Now, sometimes prayers may not be in faith, but it takes prayer to maintain faith. You see how the two things work together? You're not going to have a good prayer life if you don't have strong faith, but you're not going to have strong faith if you don't have a good prayer life. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is, faith is trust in what God says to us. And we can believe, we can have faith in prayer, in the power of praying, because of the confidence or the trust that we have in the God who promises to hear our prayer. While faith comes by the teaching of the Word of God, it is prayer that fastens that knowledge to the heart and molds it into conviction and assurance. We can have confidence in the matter of prayer, not only because God tells us that we can have that confidence, but we can have that confidence with God's assurance when we mold it into our hearts and make it a part of our lives. Jesus asked the question at the end of the parable. He asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? We might think of that question as pointing to the end of the world when Jesus comes again and is asking, will there be people of faith at that time? But I believe we can give it a more personal application, and the personal question is, will he find me to be faithful? When he comes at the end, if I am living at the time of his coming, or is it the possibility of me having faith when he comes for me in death? You see, Jesus' point is that in all the changes and all the good things and in all the bad things, in all the opposition and all that is in our favor, have we continued to keep our trust in God, and that trust, that faith, has been manifested in the way that we have prayed? Jesus raised the question because he knew the possibility of one losing heart or of losing faith. He knew the danger of such as something that is very real. Prayer changes things. We believe that. Prayer makes a difference in the providence of God. I don't know, and neither does anybody else, have any clear explanation of how the providence of God works. But we believe in the providence of God. And we believe that prayer makes a difference in the providence of God. Prayer then changes things. But going back to our point that it takes strong faith to pray, but it also takes prayer to have strong faith. When I say that prayer changes things, I want to especially emphasize that prayer changes me. And that's what we really ought to be looking at, is how my prayer makes a difference in my heart and my life. Oh yes, it makes a difference in the providence of God. I believe that. But first of all, I'm confident that prayer changes me. At a preacher's meeting some time back, since I was the oldest of the preachers there, I get that position from time to time. The moderator, in developing the questions that we wanted to discuss that day about preaching, said, "What have you learned in your years of preaching?" And I said, "One thing I have learned is that I should have prayed more and preached less." I'm not making light of the importance of preaching, but I was emphasizing how important it is that we pray, and even for a preacher, that he be a praying man. Prayer will make our faith stronger. Let me make these observations and the lesson will close. I think I've known some people who gave up their faith, but I don't think I ever knew anyone that gave up their faith who had been devoted to prayer. I think I've known people who've turned their backs on God, but I don't think any of them were ever regular in thanking God in prayer. I think I've known Christians who have drifted away, but none appeared to have a daily prayer life before they drifted. I think I've known some people, as you have, that who turned their lives into willful sin, did things, lived in things that they knew were absolutely wrong. But I don't think any of those were people who daily prayed, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I think I've known some folks who left the church, but I don't think any of them were those who had been praying for the good of the church. I think I've known folks who who cut back on their commitment and just became lukewarm as Christians. But I don't think any of those were people who had fervently prayed that God would use them in His service. And the point of illustrating that way is to come back to this thing that it takes faith to pray, but it takes prayer to have faith. The two things have to go together. I started the lesson this morning by asking if we ever felt that prayers were not answered. Of course, if we really counted it up in a fair way, we know that God has given us far more than we ever ask for. His blessings are abundant beyond our prayers. But our faith in prayer ought not to be based on what our experience has been, but rather our faith regarding prayer ought to be based on what God has promised. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what James tells us in James 5, verse 16. And John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 14, that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And those are promises that we receive by faith. And as we pray in faith, our faith in those promises becomes stronger. We're going to be singing the song that's been selected as an invitation song. And we always want to remind folks at the end of our lessons that there is an opportunity to make things right with God if such need there be. Jesus has promised that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we stand on that assurance as the basis for one coming out of the world and coming into Christ's church. We also have the assurance as Christians that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as we are singing and to press home the message of this hour, The one prayer that is never answered is the prayer that is never prayed. Let's stand and sing.